go into the world this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. At the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Talk with me in 2 Timothy 3. Some of you should be there already. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, at this point in time, what do scriptures mean? Genesis to Malachi, right? At this point in time, what do scriptures mean? Genesis to Malachi. So Paul is writing to Timothy that, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now the word there holy is the word arios, and it's the word that means something that is sacred or something set apart. So thou hast known the set apart, the word there scriptures is grammar. So that word actually deals with writings. We'll pay attention to that in days to come. So thou hast known the holy writings, that is, what is holy? Set apart, sacred. Thou hast known the set apart writings, which are able to make thee wise by faith unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it means that the writings of the prophet, Genesis to Malachi, are books that are to make one wise concerning what? Salvation. Are we together? So a good way to know you've read scriptures is when you read it and see God's salvation plan. Yeah? You know, we're in a generation right now where people want to say, what is the word for the hour? Pastor, see, Pastor, you're always repeating 2 Timothy 3. Sir, what is the word? You know, you can even come with so much respect. Sir, what is the word? What is God saying now? Dear saints, what God is saying now is what he has been saying since. Hallelujah. Yeah, what God is saying today is what he has been saying since. This salvation we are talking about in this time, right, is not a salvation that started yesterday. It has been God's plan from the writings of the scriptures. So he says, and that from a child that was known. Now says all scriptures in the next verse are given by inspiration. That means the scriptures are inspired of God, and they are advantageous, right? Yeah, that's the word profitable for doctrine. The word there doctrine is teaching. So advantageous for doctrine, for reproof. Yeah, the word there reproof is to give an assurance or evidence. Hallelujah. Yeah, so profitable, advantageous for teaching. For evidence, it now says for correction. The word for correction means to rectify. Yeah? To rectify and for instruction in righteousness. So a good way to know how you've read scriptures is to see God's saving plan. Now let me ask you a question. Did the prophets of old talk about how God used to kill? Let me say it better. In the writings of the prophet of old, did they talk about how God used to kill? Right? Is that true? They spoke about how God used to kill. But in the real sense, when we now see God as revealed in Christ, we see that we need to go and reinvestigate what those people were saying. Are we together? Why? Because Jesus is the revelation of God. Are we together? Let me say it this way. Jesus is the curriculum by which we study God. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Jesus is the curriculum by which we study God. Yeah? Jesus is the curriculum by which we study God. So if we want to have a study of God, yeah, everything we'll see in our syllabus. Is it syllabus? Syllabus? Syllabus, right? I don't know who says syllabus. Yeah? So everything we'll see in our syllabus will be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Are we together? Are we together? Look at Luke's Gospel 24. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 24. And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Yeah? Next verse. He says, then he said unto them, O fools, right? and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have what? Spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Now hold on. When Paul told Timothy, yeah, what do you suppose Paul was telling Timothy that the prophet spoke? Okay, literally, what did Paul tell Timothy that the prophets wrote? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Christ is to suffer and enter into his glory. Are we together? Next verse now says, and beginning at Moses. So beginning at Moses will be the beginning of the writings of Moses. Yeah, it's not like Jesus started saying, Moses, Moses, tomorrow you say Mo, tomorrow you say Sis, tomorrow you say Mosaic. Yeah, so, and beginning at Moses, that is beginning at the writings of Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we see clearly in scriptures that Jesus upon resurrection taught about his resurrection from where? The scriptures. So it's interesting when believers today want to teach about our faith outside the scriptures. The person that gave you what you believed. Altogether, the person that gave you salvation, what you believe, what made you saved, taught from where? Scriptures. Praise God. Praise God. So he says he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. Now today we're going to start something interesting. Now look at Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18. Look what he says. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in where? Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Jesus says all power. The word power is the word authority. Are we here? So he says all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, from Luke's Gospel 24, where was Jesus teaching from? Moses and the prophets. Are we together? Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Jesus was teaching from the writings of Moses and the prophets. Now, when Jesus says heaven and earth, where is he teaching from? Moses. Yeah? Who was the first person in scriptures to use the word heaven and earth? Moses. So it means that what Matthew wrote in three verses was something Jesus did for 40 days. Acts chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. So what Jesus taught for 40 days, Matthew writes it as Jesus came and spake. So if you read this in layman's language, you would think Jesus just appeared and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He would have thought so. Yeah, but like I said, a good way to do that would be Jesus came and kept speaking to them. Yeah, so all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. So he's not teaching from the blues. He's teaching from where? Moses. So it means that we need to go back to investigate who started using the word heaven and earth. He now says in verse 19, it says, go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations. Yeah, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then this one is angels. Amen. Okay, amen. Done. Fulfilled. Glory to God. Yeah, so baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the entire scriptures, that is the only portion of scriptures where you see name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Ghost. In the real sense, talking about the name of the Son, the reputation of the Son. Follow. Right? He now says in verse 19, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have what? Commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So, dear saints, I want us to go and investigate Moses' writing of heaven and earth. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the what? End of the world. Beautiful. Look at John 5:46. John chapter 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Are we together? Had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So who wrote heaven and earth? Moses. What is Jesus saying? If you believe Moses' heaven and earth, you should believe me, for Moses wrote of me. So we want to look at how Moses wrote of him. Are we together? Look at verse 47. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So what is Jesus saying? Yeah, a fundamental thing you must note or know while believing his teachings is what? The writings of Moses. How is it together? So go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, a simple question. Moses said, Jesus said Moses was writing about him. Is that true? Is that true? Is that true? Jesus said Moses was writing about him. So the question now becomes, if Moses is writing about the beginning and the creation, will he be speaking about the sky and where you are standing? Jesus said something. If you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. Now, when Moses says in the beginning God created heaven and earth, is it going to be the place you are standing on and the clouds, or God and his work? God and his work through Christ. Are we together? Let me take us back a little. We've explained what the Garden of Eden meant. True? Yes, is that true? I would say the Garden of Eden was a figure of speech used to speak about something God gave man, a special place. We said the word there, garden, is the word gan, and it speaks of an enclosed, defended area. The word there, Eden, is the word what? Pleasure, luxury, delight. So, Garden of Eden, yeah, is not one garden that was fenced in Adam's time, right? But it was Moses' communication of what God was doing or going to do. Now, we said that God gave Adam an instruction. What was the instruction? To dress and to keep it. Last week, Sunday, we saw what dressing and keeping meant. And we saw it was about what? Service. Are we together? Yeah? So to dress and keep it is not to trim the flowers, but actually to do the work of a priest. Are we together? Glory to God. Now, we looked at Cain and Abel, and we saw that when Cain, right, after Cain did what he did, he was driven out of the face of the earth. Is that true? Did he go to Mars? Did he go to Jupiter? So we saw that driven out of the face of the earth is a figure of speech speaking about the presence of God. Are we together? So we said that was equal to Adam driven out of the garden. Together. Now we said that what Adam and Cain did not make them poor materially. Yeah? So the teaching that Christ has come to sort out our prosperity is a figure of speech. Are we together? Let me say it again. Yeah? The teaching that, you see, man fell in three races. Jesus redeemed from three. How do you say it again? I'm forgetting all these things. Yeah? Jesus redeemed from three phases: spiritual death, poverty, and health. It's not true. Yeah? That which God has done in Christ is forever permanent. So if a believer who has the Spirit of God can fall sick, it means he wasn't taken care of on the cross. What Adam did not bring poverty on mankind, because everything Adam had before what he did were still his. We see in Genesis chapter 4 verse 17, Cain built an entire city. Cain built one city and he called the name of the city after his son. That means he owned the land. Yeah, what Christ did is something no man on earth who doesn't believe the gospel will have. So if it's something you have in your house, if it's car, if it's house, if it's mansion, if it's estate, and you can name one unbeliever that has it, it's not part of what Christ did. But what Christ did, no single unbeliever on earth can have it. Let's leave emotions. Yeah? No unbeliever can have forgiveness of sins, even though it's offered. No unbeliever can have the indwelling of the Spirit, even though it's offered. Yeah? But if you can have a single thing, are we together? So we saw that Adam, what Adam did not make him materially poor. If Christ came to redeem mankind from poverty, no man on earth should have escaped poverty till Jesus came. Including Solomon, including David, including the richest. In fact, history shows that the number of people that were rich in Jesus' time were now up to 5%. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Is it painful? Yeah, so it's not today that poverty started. It's been there. So poverty is pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. Poverty is pre-resurrection and post-resurrection. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? So by the Spirit, we can see in the Spirit, know by the Spirit, know certain things. You know, you understand, miracles happen, miracles abound, right? You know that if men don't use their money to pay for things, money will not flow. Do you know that? You know that if all of us leave our money in our account, and if maybe one God of the ages just come and say, everybody don't pay for anything, you know that your forex market will be like this. Why am I telling you about forex? Is God saying something? Eh? It will be like mannequin. I'm telling you, if banks in the world decide not to move, God will not move anything. God will not move anything if men don't move their money. So what we call miracle, some people, what they call miracle money is the money other people mistakenly send. One banker is mistakenly entering somebody's account number, they put 7 instead of 4. And you say that's miracle of God. Better go to the bank, you're a thief. If you have any credit alert in your phone and it's sudden, you cannot trace it. It's not miracle money. Eh? It's not miracle money. What do? You report to the bank immediately. First thing you do, you withdraw everything from ATM. Even if it's for you to go to POS machine that they will not, you know, ATM is 30,000 per withdrawal. You go to those POS that will just put your card once, 1 million they give you. They charge you 5,000. And you go. Say, I believe in miracles. Say, I have my needs met. Say, I have my needs met. I have my needs met. Glory to God. So believe in miracles. Hallelujah. But there is no miracles that you have that an unbeliever cannot have. The only miracle you have is the miracle of the new birth. Hallelujah. The miracle of salvation. That's the only miracle that no other man on earth who is not a believer can have. Glory to God. So he says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. So the first mention of the word heaven is where? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Now let's do a little exegesis on that. The word here, heaven, is the Hebrew word shamayim. Sounds like tongues, huh? Shamayim. Heaven is Shamayim. Now spell it for us. Shamayim. Look at Genesis 11:14. Shamayim, and is a word that implies being lofty, or a word used to allude to the visible arc in the clouds. I'll say it again. Shamayim is a word that implies being lofty or used to allude to the visible arc in the clouds. Another allusion. It's used to allude the abode of God. Are we here? It's a word that implies being lofty. A word that implies being lofty. A word that used to allude to visible arc of the clouds, that's what you see, or an abode for God, so to say. Now, it shows disparity between the seen and the unseen. Please, we will look at all this patiently. Yeah, it shows disparity between the seen and the unseen. Look at 19:24. Okay, yeah. So, it says, and the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstones and fire from the Lord out of where? Heaven. Look at chapter 21, verse 17. And God heard the voice of the Lord, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of where? Heaven, and said unto her, what allieth thee, Hagar? Now, let me ask a question. Will this heaven be from the sky or from the unseen? Are we following? So this heaven doesn't mean that there was a loud voice from the sky that was shouting upon Hagar. So it says, and called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what allied thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God had heard the voice of the Lord where he is. Look at chapter 22, verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of where? Heaven. Out of where? Heaven. Is that unseen? Beautiful. Yeah. And said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Look at 24:3. Genesis 24:3. Genesis 24:3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, right? And the God of the earth, that thou shalt make take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanite, among whom I dwell. Look at 26 verse 4. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, right? I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Blessed. Look at chapter 27 verse 28 and 39. 27, 30, 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Look at verse 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Now from this we've seen that heaven oftentimes mentioned is in relation to God's activity. That's important to note. Yeah, heaven often mentioned is in relation to God's activity, or let me say it this way, the supernatural, what you see unseen. Yeah, what is supernatural? Supernatural, that is over the natural. Are we together? So it will mean that we've seen these examples to show us that the word heaven is used to teach about God's activities or the supernatural activities in the natural. Are we here? Remember, one of them heard a voice from heaven. What is voice from heaven? Voice from the unseen. So it means that the heaven there will speak about something unseen as a message sent to someone on the earth which is seen. Am I too fast? Did you get that? I'll say it again. Yeah? Yeah. The word heaven there we've seen deals with God's activity or God's supernatural activity that is used in reference to what? The natural. Now, in the Near Eastern culture, they will refer to heaven as the dwelling place of God. Let me ask a question. So, you know, let me ask a question. You know, we all grew up believing that God, earth is where man stays. Are we here? Please don't lose track. I want to say something, right? So, we grew up learning that earth is where man stays. And where does God stay? Heaven. So, let me ask you a question. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven. Where was he? Upper heaven. Yeah? God created heaven. All together. So it means that before heaven was created, yeah, there was no time. And God existed in that phase of no time. Are we here? These are questions very intelligent it is we ask you. If God existed before he created heaven, it means that he did not create heaven for him to have a house. Are we here? Yeah, so he said. So we said that, you know, heaven is as used as a supernatural or unseen activities, you know, in the natural. So in literal form, heaven will be Moses' way of teaching of God's activity amidst men. Please, that's important to write. According to the end of our notes before we explain towards there, right? Moses will use the heaven and the earth to speak about God's activities in the earth. Look at Genesis 28 verse 12. Remember, so we can say the heavens, like we grew up learning, man will say it is where God stays. And the earth is where man stays. Are we together? Yeah? So, he says that, look at this. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Up to 17, quickly let's read. And behold, the Lord God stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereof thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Who is speaking here? Who is this to? This to Jacob. Look at it now. It says, to thy father Abraham and to thy son Isaac. So it has to be Jacob. Right? Look at verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall the families of the earth be what? Blessed. 16 quickly. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Are we together? And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the what? Where was he talking about? A place on earth or the sky? Did you follow that teaching, that reading? So it says, how dreadful is this place? This is no other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Are we together? So where he's talking about, is he pointing to the clouds? He was talking about a place on earth. Are we here? Look at Genesis 49 verse 25 quickly. Even by the God of the Father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with the blessing of heaven above, blessing of the deep that light under, blessing of the breast of the womb. Now look at, so you see the word there, heaven above, right? Look at Exodus 20 verse 20. Exodus 20, 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye see not. 21. Yeah. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Look at verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. From heaven. So we see Moses used heaven to speak about where God carries out activities. Is that clear? Yes, let me say it again. He says, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. So Moses is using that to speak about where God acts. So look at it. If I say, I speak to you from this altar, where am I? On the altar. All together. Let me say stage before we start using those words. So I speak to you from this stage. Where am I? Stage. If Moses tells you God speaks from heaven, it means that what he's acting is acting from heaven. Are we here? Look at Deuteronomy 26 verse 15 quickly. Deuteronomy 26 15. Look down from the holy habitation. Look at this. Moses says, look down from thy holy habitation, from where? Heaven. And bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swear unto our fathers, a land that floweth with what? Milk and what? Honey. Beautiful. Now look at how Nehemiah uses that word in Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 28. Nehemiah 9. Now remember, Moses told you that God will speak from where? Heaven. Are we here? Look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 28. He says, but after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, leftest thou them in the hands of thy enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou headest them from where? From heaven, right? And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercy. Yeah? So thou headest them from. So Nehemiah is teaching that God hears from heaven. So hold on. Look at Psalms 14 verse 2. Psalm 14 verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek. Now let me ask you a question. We read Nehemiah. We read Psalms. Let's read one more. Look at 1 Kings 8:30. Let me ask you a very, very interesting question after this. 1 Kings 8. Let's read verse 30 together. Are we here? Verse 30, 1, 2, 3, go. So, here in your dwelling place, and when thou hearest, you what? Forgive. So hold on now. So God is, so we've seen scripture. So the writer of 1 Kings and the writer of Nehemiah and the writer of Psalms, what would be their scriptures? Genesis to Deuteronomy. That is the writings of Moses. So to mean that when they are teaching about heaven, their foundation of use of heaven will be consistent with how Moses must have used it in scriptures. Altogether, now we've seen clearly that we've seen how they used heaven as a place where God acts from or hears from. Altogether, so write this down very importantly. So to the Jewish people, heaven is used as a place where God what? Dwells. Or where God acts from. So a place used to describe where God dwells or where God acts from. A place used to describe where God dwells or where God acts from. So more like to describe God's activities and earth for man's activities. Did you get that? I'll say that again. So heaven would have been used to describe God's activities or where God's activities is found. Have we seen that? Have we seen that? Where he speaks from, where he acts from, where he responds from, where he forgives from. Are we here? So earth would, by nature, earth would be what? Speaking about what? Man's activities. Now let's look at the word earth. Yeah, from Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the word heaven. So we've looked at heaven as a word that speaks about that which is unseen. Or that which is a place where God abodes and dwells and acts from. So look at the word here, earth, is the word erets. E-R-E-T-S. E-R-E-T-S. T-S, the word erets, really. E-R-E-T-S, the Hebrew word. Now look at Genesis 1 verse 1. You see, God created heaven and earth. Now look at Genesis chapter 6 verse 1. Please follow. Genesis 6 1. And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the what? On the what? So where was man multiplying? Face of the earth, right? That's the word erets. Yeah? And daughters were born unto them. You know, this is scripture that says, look at verse 2. And that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Hello? 120 years. Is that saying the number of days man will live on earth is 120? No, now. Let me ask you a question. Did Noah himself, that this instruction was spoken to, did he live for 120 years? Okay. Japheth, Shem, and Ham. How many years did they live for? They live for hundreds of years, though. It's in the Bible. So, when he's saying man's day shall be 120 years, he was speaking about the number of years that Noah will preach for people to receive his gospel or his message. So, it means that Noah preached for 120 years and nobody joined him in the ark. Saying, you see what long suffering really is? Noah preached for one. So Noah did not just wake up and build one ark overnight. No. Noah preached for 120 years. Now, you know, a lot of people teach from that verse that the sons of men that were sleeping with daughters of men were angels. So angels are sleeping with women. No. Angels don't have reproductive organ. They don't reproduce. Imagine as men are reproducing, angels too are reproducing. Imagine. So it means that angels, we need to be toasting ladies too. I'll be toasting female angels. So the question now, the reason why people begin to believe that is because in the next, look at verse 4. It says, they were giants in the earth those days. Dear saints, those giants, that word, they're giants, you know, in the earth those days. And after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bear children to them. The same mighty men, the word they're mighty men is Nephtilia. And that word Nephtilia speaks about giants, which Goliath was one of. Are we together? So how did Goliath exist? If God wanted to wipe the earth because angels were sleeping with women, where did Goliath come from? He sneaked into the ark. Then when Noah now finished allowing all the animals to go, he said, goats, go. Then he now put on the flesh of sheep. No, now. Are we together? Yeah? You know, like I will say, if you believe that angels should sleep with men, you will soon believe that the angel that visited Mary slept with her. it will soon make sense to you. Remain small. I said, remain small. Remain small. It will make sense to you that that angel, Angel Gabriel, visited Mary. You will begin to analyze the word there, visit, is the word that has to do with intercourse. It will make sense to you. Why? Because you've already known that angels sleep with women from time. Are we together? So we see that giants were on the face of the earth. Till today, they are still giants. Are we together? Are we together? If you don't know, check online. Praise God. Praise God. So it's now. So we looked at the word there. Look at verse 6. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Look at it. We're going to look at this series where we are investigating Noah's ark. You know, this verse makes it look as if God was regretting he made the earth. But you said God knows the end from the beginning now. So it means that what man will do to God can never take him unawares. So you cannot say that God was now angry. I didn't know man would be like this. So that means it shocked him. So God was just coming from his heaven. He just came to the earth. Flood. Oh yeah, begin to prepare. 120 years. Habba. You know that? So it means that let me say something very important. Okay. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. For you to be a man who is grieved, it means that you didn't expect what was coming. So Jesus did not come to show mankind that God is no longer angry. You know, people used to say that thing. Yeah, God is no longer angry with you. No, he was never angry. Are we here? Yes, sir. You know, God is no, your sins are forgiven. God is no longer angry with you. He was never angry. He was never. What did Jesus come to show? He came to show that God was never angry. So he says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anything you can say of Jesus today as a good father, it means that he has always been that way from time. So it means that for him to be grieved, it means that what man did to him shocked him. How are you together? Look at verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created out of anger. Out of anger. You look at it in Noah's story. Yeah, both man, both beast, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I made them. God is a God who doesn't repent on his words. God is a God who doesn't go back on his words. Are we together? Are we together? Beautiful. So God's long suffering has been from time. It wasn't when man did something, he now shocked God. I said, what will I do? Hey, and there's one last, not a last born Jesus. I'll make him the first begotten. I'll catch all of you. Not all of you be playing, just be doing your things. Just be trapping in front. No. Jesus came to reveal to the mankind or to mankind that God was never angry. Look at 1 Kings 8:16. 1 Kings 8:16. First Kings 8:50-60. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. Are we together? Look at so people of the earth, that's what they're there. Look at Job 1:8. Job is another very interesting book we need to pay attention to. Yeah, and the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? Thou Lord, will he be God? Don't be too fast to answer. That there is none like him in the earth. There is none like Job. There is none like Job. Yeah? A perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. That is, he hated evil. Look at Job 2:3. And the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? Yeah, a perfect and upright man, one that feared God, and he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Yeah, a perfect man, none like him in the earth. So, none like him in the earth, we'll speak about amongst men. Are we together? Beautiful. Look at Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Are we together? Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So we've seen that the earth has been used over time, yeah, to pay attention to where man operates. Are we here? Are we here? Yes, then the heaven is speaking about where God what? Operates. So Moses used imagery. Now let me explain the meaning of the word imagery. Now, imagery is a part of the figurative language whereby an author uses vivid images to describe a phenomenon. I'll take it again. Hold on. Yeah, imagery is a figurative language whereby the author uses vivid images to describe a phenomenon. Imagery is a figurative language in a literal work whereby the author uses vivid images to describe a concept, a phenomenon. Are we together? Look at this. Okay, let me allow you to write. Yeah? Imagery is a figure of speech whereby the author uses the vivid images or vivid images that you can see to describe the concept. Look at this. He went to the top of the mountain and threw himself down. Is that the he that went to the mountain? Look at that again. Yeah? He threw himself up and came down. Is this a man? What did I do just now? I used an image that you could see with your vivid or literal eyes to explain a concept. Are we together? Let me not say what I said again. Moses employed imageries to explain God's activities or work amongst men. Let me say it away. Moses used heaven to explain the activity of God and earth to explain the activity of what? Men. Are we here? Say it again. Moses used imageries to explain the activities of God or activities of God and the activity of what? Men. Are we here? Have we gone? So, look at this very importantly. Right? Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now, describe man's activities. Are we here? Are we here? Earth describes man's activities. Heaven describes God's activities. So look at this. Moses lets us see that God created heaven and earth. Is that true? What did he say about earth? Let's read verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Did he say anything about heaven? Did he say anything about heaven? So, from this, we see that Moses is saying that heaven seems to be perfect. Are we here? What did he say about earth? Earth was without form and what? Void. Right. The word there, without form, is the word tohu. Without form is a singular word, tohu. And the word void is the word bohu. So is without form and void is tohu bohu. Tohu bohu, just really like Yoruba. T-O-H-U. That's tohu. T-O-H-U and bohu. B-O-H-U. So tohu bohu. So without form, without void is tohu bohu. In the real sense, what is this saying? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now the word there tohu bohu means nothing or nothing. Tohu bohu speaks about nothing. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 21 quickly. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 21. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpets? For my people are foolish. Are we here? Please don't lose track at this remaining few minutes, right? My people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Look at verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without what? Form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Now, in the real sense, would I be speaking about men? Remember, he's been describing some people. Look at verse 21. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Verse 22. My people are foolish. Is that a people he's describing? Foolish people, right? And they have no understanding. Is that the same people he's describing? Right? And they are wise to do evil. Is that the same people? To do good, they have no knowledge. Is that the same people? Are we here? So what is Jeremiah speaking about? People. Are we here? Please, this will make sense shortly. So Jeremiah is speaking about people. He now says in verse 23, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Now look at verse 24 quickly. Right? I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and the hills moved lightly. 25. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. Verse 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. Verse 27, for thus hath said the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. Look at verse 28 now. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, and I have proposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. Who is talking here? Who is talking here? The writer. Eh? Who is talking here? The writer. Prophet Jeremiah. Eh, don't be doing those kalokalo sense. You know what kalokalo is? You know what kalokalo is? Eh? It's a Greek word. So we see that Jeremiah is describing activities of men. So who was he actually dealing, talking about? He was talking about men who were in disobedience to God's knowledge. Please listen. No. Please listen. No. What did he call them? He said they had no light. The earth was without form and void. They had no light. But Moses in Genesis 1 says that God said, let there be light. After he told you the earth was without form and void. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we here? Have you gone home? Yes, please don't go home. So, the earth was without form and void was speaking about what? That means there was nothing, or there was darkness or emptiness. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Let's read that quickly. Hearkening, behold, there went out a sower to what? Sow. And it came to pass. Now, remember, the sower sow. Now, what does the sower sow? Seed. So, a sower sows seed. So, you see, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came up and devoured it. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 13 for our time. 4:13. And he began again to teach by the seaside. 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? So when he was saying, sower went to sow seed, he was speaking in what? So he says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parables? And how then will ye know all parables? What is he saying? This parable is one of the simplest parables you can think of. If you don't know this one, how will you know others? Look at the next verse. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The sower soweth what? The sower soweth the what? The word. Look at the next verse. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard it, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that he has sown in their what? So this sower sow seed also. But where does this sower sow seed? In the earth. Where does the natural sower sow seed? On the earth. Are we together? Look at verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have what? Heard the word, immediately receive it with what? Look at Luke 8 quickly. The same parable in Luke 8. Luke 8 verse 10. Luke 8 verse 10. Please follow. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, hearing they might not what? Look at verse 11. Now the parable is this. The sower sower the what?
The
no, no, the, no. This parable is this. They what?
The
now, in Mark, look at the next verse, verse 12. Those by the waysides are they which hear. And those that call in the devil and take away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Please, are we here?
Yes.
Now, the sower, an agriculturist, yeah, sows the word. Yeah, Sister Obon, quickly come. Brandon, so quickly come. Yeah. So, let's face the church. Yeah, come to me. You can come to my right. Yeah, yes, you can stay here. Now, just come. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So this is a farmer that sows mango seed where? On the earth. This is another farmer that sows words in the hearts of men. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Both of them are sowing. Are we together? When this one sows, he enters the ground and begins to build as a plant. When this one sows, he enters the heart, and when they hear it, they believe and they are what? Saved. Please don't lose track of. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 2. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. Go back to verse 1. Remember. And the earth was with. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. The Lord created. In the beginning, God created the what? Heavens and earth. Next verse. And the earth was without form. And what? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. So, if his own earth was without form and void, what is our own earth? Where does he sow seed? On the ground. Where does she sow seed? On the earth, in the heart of men. So if his own ground is with darkness, without form and void, which is going to talk about the physical earth, where will our own earth be? The heart of men. Are we here? So darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Look at verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Was this light the moon? Was this light the moon? Was this light the sun? Hold on. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Please go back to your seat. Genesis 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them. Hold on. Next line says what? Lest their what? Light of the glorious gospel, which is the, who is the image? Hold on. Let's read again. 1, 2, 3, go. Less. Everybody together. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Who is writing this? Paul. Where is he teaching from? Genesis. What did he call light? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Now look at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves his servant for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For God, are we here? Are we here? For God, who commanded light to shine out of what? Darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Are we together? I'm going to continue this on Wednesday. Let's run up in Genesis 1. Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is talking here? Moses. The heaven was Moses' way of teaching about God's activity. And the earth was Moses' way of teaching about what? Man's activities. So what happened to the earth in verse 3, verse 2? And the earth was without form and void. That is tohu buhu. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, what is the solution to darkness? Light. What did God say in verse 3? Let there be light. What did Paul say? For God, who shone light out of darkness, has shone the light of the glorious gospel on our hearts. So, let there be light. And there was light. What did Paul say the light is? The light of the glorious gospel. So when he says the earth was without form and void, it means that amongst men there was darkness. Are we here?
Yes.
It means amongst men there was what? darkness. Now, so men that are unbelievers, who have not believed the gospel, their hearts are in a state of what? Darkness. What's the solution? Let there be light. So let there be light as being God's message of the gospel from time to take care of what? Darkness. Are we together? Are we together? So the light is the seed. Did you get that? The light is the seed, which is the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses was teaching from Genesis chapter 1, speaking about what? The state of man without the Spirit of God. That's why I now tell you the Spirit of God hovered over. We're going to look at that on Wednesday. What does it mean to hover over? Yeah? What does it mean that the Spirit of God moved? Hallelujah. Praise God. So mankind, yeah, had a problem of darkness. What was the solution? Light. So can you see, light is not a message that God began to make ready for when Adam did what he did. Can you see, the Bible opens up with the gospel. Hold on. 2 Corinthians 4 tells you that the light of the glorious what? Gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So it means that Genesis, Paul is teaching from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. The image of God. Who is the image of God? Christ. You or I? So the image of God is the same concept Moses used to write as the light of the glorious gospel. What did Jesus say? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So how did Moses write of Jesus in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to 3? The Spirit moved and there was light. What is the light? The light of the glorious gospel. Are we here? Are we here this morning? Yeah. So Jesus will tell you that if you don't know this parable, if you don't know this parable, it will be hard for you to know others. Where was he teaching from? Genesis chapter 1. So I've given us an introduction of heaven and earth. Let's go back a little. Heaven was Moses' way of teaching about what? The union between God's activities. I'm sorry, right? So heaven was beautiful, you're following. So heaven was Moses' way of teaching about God's activities. Earth was Moses' way of teaching about man's activities. Heaven and earth to speak about the union between God and man. That is divinity and humanity. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority is given unto me. Because God's heaven and earth right now is the new creature. The new creation. Are we here? I'll say that again. God's heaven right now is the, God's heaven and earth is the new creation. So when you sing that song, he didn't want heaven without me. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. What is he brought heaven down? My sins were great, your love was greater. Did I get it right? What can separate us now? Do you know why nothing can separate us? Because heaven and earth has come into the union. Which is what he taught as Adam getting married to cleave unto the woman. We did that teaching, right? The woman is who? The church. So Moses started teaching about heaven and earth as marriage and Adam and Eve as marriage. What marriage is that? The marriage between who? Christ and the church. So when we say nothing can separate us, it's because the union God has entered with man is everlasting. Are we together? I'll say that again. The union God has entered with man is forever. It is forever. Nothing can separate us. That's why Romans 8 will now tell you what shall separate us from the love of God. Tribulations? No. Heaven and earth has come into a marriage. Yeah? Are we together? So, heaven and earth is a Moses' ideology to teach about what? That activity which God will do amidst men. Are we here? Are we here? Remember last week we talked about something very important. We said what? The Jerusalem which is above is the Jerusalem which we are of. Are we together? Are we together? So why do you suppose we call it heavenly Jerusalem? Because it speaks of a people who are united in heaven and in earth. Heavenly will speak about that which is unseen. Jerusalem will speak about what? Where man is. So God's Israel is God's people. So when we call it heavenly Jerusalem, it's because there's a marriage between what? That which is unseen, that which is seen. So God, in the work of his Son, has brought heaven to mankind, such that when a man believes the gospel, he houses God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Are we together? Look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, very importantly. See, so what it says there. Ephesians 1, 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual what? Blessings. So look at it again. Blessed be the God, I mean the Father. Are we together? He's not saying God is different from the Son. Yeah, or he's not saying God is different from the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, no. Blessed be the what? Now, the word there, blessed, is the word to speak well. Glory to God. Eulogy. Yeah, speak well. So he says, we speak well of the God and, I mean, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the Father of Jesus. Are we together? The first begotten from the dead. Hallelujah. In like manner, we shall rise again. Glory to God. We shall put on incorruption. Yeah, we shall put on incorruption. Yeah, look at what it says. So it says, blessed be our Father who had blessed us with those spiritual what? Blessings. Where are spiritual blessings found? In heavenly places in Christ. So the word there, places, in brackets. It wasn't, doesn't have a translation. So that word there, heavenly, is where? Is where? Is where? So now that we have received of his love, where are we found? We are found in God's heaven. So we who were ideally men are now found in heaven, which is the union between what? Heaven and earth. Are we together? We'll look at this more in detail on Wednesday. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we here? Now, so after he taught these realities, he now goes to verse 17. Go to verse 17 quickly. He says, look at verse 16. I cease not to pray for you, I cease not to give thanks for you, rather, making mention of you in my prayers, yeah, that the God, right? 16 quickly, 17 quickly, rather. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the what? The Father. So, verse 3, we just make it look like God is different from the Father. Are we together? He now tells you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of who? Glory. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom that is revelation in the knowledge of what? Him. Yes? That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So is there a glory in the saints? Yes, the glory of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the glorious heaven has now come to indwell men who believe the gospel. So Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So it means that Paul made the point of duty to what? Pray for the saints. Yeah? Look at verse 19. He now says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his what? Mighty power. Verse 20. Which he wrought where? In Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand where? Where? In heaven. Yeah? So can you see the concept of heaven again? God's activity. So we see that heaven is seen as God's activity amidst what? Men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the what? Whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the what? Devil. Verse 12 now says, we wrestle not against what?
Flesh and blood.
But against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers and of darkness, or rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. That word there, places. Let me ask you a question. If you see that word high places and places in brackets, yeah, the word before places is what? High. Yeah. When we read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the word before places was what? Heavenly, right? So the word heavenly and high, they are the same Greek words. So let me ask you a question. So it now says, we wrestle not against spiritual wickedness in heaven. But it told us that heaven is where Christ is, where the believer has come to. So can there be spiritual wickedness in God's heaven? You're nodding your head, man. He already told you in the same book that heaven is where he has wrought his work in Christ. So heaven is where the believer is. So can spiritual wickedness find his way there? So there's a syntax error, so to say, in that verse. Yeah, that word in heaven is the next verse continuation. Yeah, so when it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, full stop. Now the next verse now says what? In heaven, wherefore take unto you the whole armor. So where do you suppose the whole armor of God will be found? Where Christ is now? In heaven. Are we together? So, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done, to stand. Now, what does it actually mean to take on the whole armor of God? It means give yourself to prayer. Look at verse 18. So, when it started saying, breastplate of righteousness, you know, there's people who tell you that, see, the way you are going like this, I don't think you have breastplate. All I see around you is helmet. Yeah? So, all the, take unto you your breastplate, take unto you the helmet of salvation. How do you take it? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Yeah? That is watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for us, that utterance and boldness will be given unto us. Verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, what? Boldly, to make known the mystery of the union between heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed this morning? Heaven and earth. So the earth that was without darkness, now that you see the light, what has happened? Light has shone in your heart. Yeah? 2 Corinthians 4. Yeah? For this God, verse 6, who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Now let me ask you a question. Does darkness exist? Does darkness exist? Does darkness exist?
Yes.
How does darkness exist? Simply the absence of what? Light. If I say, I want this room to be dark, what do I really mean? Take away light. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? So if I say shine light in that dark area, where light illuminates. Are we together? Are we together? Say, I've received of his light. Say, I walk in light. Say, I'm full of power. Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Continue on Wednesday, right? Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes.